The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely the opinion of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Grown Folks Talk Radio Network and or Dreams Fulfilled Media. Listener discretion is advised.
You need to shut the f*** when Grown Folks is talking.
This is a Dreams Fulfilled Media production.
Welcome to Grown Folks Talk, where we promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God.
Warning, this show is not for the faint at heart. So, if you're incapable of keeping it real, if you're not ready to face your issues, or if you're sensitive on any level, then please don't even bother sitting your ass at the round table.
Please note that our views and opinions are just what they are. Our views, our opinions.
We're not licensed therapists.
We are licensed realists, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's your host, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw.
Hello, grown folks. What's going on? Thank you for joining me at the roundtable for another episode of Grown Folks Talk. Of course, today is Tuesday, January 26th. 2016. Jesus, did I really just say January 26, 2016? We're 26 days past the new year. It's going fast already. I hope that some of you guys who have decided to put out those New Year's resolutions, I hope that you actually follow them. I know that I am, even though I don't put out resolutions. I just put goals for the year. But anyway, I hope that you are following them because, you know, it's time to get some purpose out here. It's time to get it going. It's time to push ourselves into, you know, greatness. But nevertheless, like I always start the show, I appreciate you for joining us on tonight. Very, very powerful show tonight. Tonight's topic is how much of a role did my parents play in my relationship failure? It's going to be a phenomenal show. I got special guests in the studio joining me tonight. Unfortunately, Timnu will not be joining us, but it's all good. We're going to push forward and we're going to still have one hell of a show. We just can't have Tim's thoughts tonight, which is sad, but guess what? We still can move forward with our Hail to the Gnaw segment. Before we move into that Hail to the Gnaw segment, I want to give a shout out to Dreams Fulfilled Media, the media company that houses Grown Folks Talk for you each and every Tuesday and Thursday. I also would like to give a shout out to, you know, like I said, my loyal listening base. It's amazing to see the expansion of this platform and how far it has came since, you know, the start, man. It's just overwhelming at times. So it helps me to push forward and continue to do what I do and continue to bring these topics that I bring each and every week. I'm overwhelmed. Nevertheless, if you want to follow me on social media to get more updates, not only just on Grown Folks Talk, but just with everything Sean D. Upshaw, you can do so by putting into the search bar or even, I hate to say the cliche, Googling me. SHAUNDUPSHAW. Again, that's SHAUNDUPSHAW. That's Sean D. Upshaw. I'm across all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, whatever platform is out there, I'm out there. And I always have information about Grown Folks Talk. I always have information that, you know, that comes from the mind, whether it's on relationship, whether it's on life, whether it's on Christianity. My whole thing right now is to just basically help people reach greatness. That's one of my big goals for 2016, and I'm quite sure I'm going to get there. Nevertheless, as I said, Tim is not going to be here, but nevertheless, we're going to push forward. We're going to move into the Hail Gnaw segment. Tonight's Hail Gnaw segment is kind of crazy, but it's still a Hail Gnaw, even though somebody died in this whole thing. And, you know, death is never funny, but the reason for his death is what led me to do this Hail Gnaw segment, or Hail Gnaw portion of the segment. And believe it or not, it's actually trending. But anyway, I got this article from back home in Michigan, in Detroit, rather. And basically, it's an article about a 58-year-old man who actually died in a car crash. Now, you know, my condolences to his family and everything. But here's the thing that really threw me. So the article starts off by saying the Michigan State Police Department said Tuesday that a man died after rolling his car on a ramp from the lodge to I-75. And the reason he did it was because he was watching porn.
Bruh.
I don't know why he was watching porn. Don't get me to speculating. But anyway, he was watching porn and trying to masturbate at the same time. What? Yeah, I really don't understand that whole thing. But anyway, it says the driver was not wearing a seatbelt at the time. I couldn't imagine why he would be wearing a seatbelt. When he lost control and rolled the car, He was partially ejected through the sunroof and died on the scene. As I said, this is just amazing. I don't know how I find this stuff. But anyway, as I said, the Michigan State Police confirmed to the news that the man was watching porn and masturbating while trying to drive, which led to a crash and ultimately killed him. So basically, the hell no moment goes to this gentleman tonight, because I really just can't understand. One, why you just couldn't wait till you get home to do that? Like, if you're going to masturbate, at least wait till you get home to do that. Then it's all good. You ain't got to worry about watching the road or none of that stuff. But anyway, it's sad to say that, you know, porn took him out. But that's tonight's portion of the Hell to the Gnaw moment. I know it's a little bit. It's not as funny as our other ones because, like I said, the man died. We don't make fun of death. But at the same time, it's like just the whole thing of just listening and reading why he died is just, It's crazy. But nevertheless, as I said, Tim is not here. We're going to move forward into bringing Coach Ivy on, who's actually our guest tonight. And I might have another special guest joining us tonight. You would be shocked to see who that is. She's been here before. But, you know, we going to sit back and relax and see if she come in. I hope she does, because to have these two powerful women on the same platform at the same time is going to make for one hell of a show, and it's going to boost the women's panel for tonight's topic, because I definitely want to pick each and every one of their brains about, you know, this subject. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break for station identification. On the other side of the break, we're going to jump into this topic. We're going to jump into it heavy. And I mean, that's basically it. So sit back, relax. We'll be right back after this.
This is Real Talk for real people seeking real solutions to real problems. This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw, coming to your speakers now. The show that will offend the shit out of you, but help you at the same damn time.
Oh.
You're tuned in to Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network. Your source for real talk with no bullshit. You're tuned in to Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network. Welcome back, grown folks. If you're online and you'd like to be a part of the roundtable discussion, then do so by dialing the Grown Folks Talk hotline at 646-787-1851. Press 1 to get into the queue, and we'll be glad to pull a seat out at the table for you. Now, let's get back to the discussion at hand.
And we're back. Welcome back, Ron, folks. If you're live streaming online, which, you know, I always can appreciate, but if you're live streaming online, get your buddy in here at the roundtable. This is definitely one of those topics that you want to be a part of. You can do that by dialing 646-787-1851. Again, the number is 646-787-1851. If you hear a little something wrong with my voice, I don't know if I'm coming down with something. Somebody told me before the show that it sounded like I'm coming down with a cold. God forbid if that is the case, because I can't afford to get sick right now. We got too much coming up. And plus, we got the men's panel on Thursday. And you know how I feel about the men's panel. But anyway, let's focus on the task at hand. Of course, tonight's topic is how my parents played a major role in some of my relationship failures. We're going to jump into this topic. So without further ado, let me bring my first guest panelist on tonight, Coach Ivy. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm great. It's good to have you on the show. We've been trying to get you on this show for the past 6 months.
Yes, we have. I'm delighted to finally make it, right?
Yeah.
Snow couldn't keep me away. I'm here on the East Coast, and it snowed us in pretty much. But fortunately, I have a landline, a cell phone, and heat, so we're all good here.
Hey, well, thank God for, you know, being snowed in. Well, I hate that you snowed in, but thank God that you're able to call in and join the show. So he got you sitting in a place where you can, you know, join us at the round table, and I'm glad to have you here. You know, originally I told you prior to the show that it was just going to be me and you, but luckily at the last minute, I was able to call in a huge favor. And I have actually two coaches. This is going to be good. Yeah, I have two coaches. So I have Coach Ivy and I have Coach Eden. What's going on, Miss Eden?
Well, good evening, Sean, and good evening, Coach Ivy. How are you all tonight?
I'm lovely. Good. Pleasure to meet you, Coach Eden.
It's wonderful to make your acquaintance. Thank you for sharing your show, your time, your expertise. because this subject definitely isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Thank you, Sean, for throwing me into the mix.
Not a problem. Actually, I'm glad you even, reached out because let's be honest. I had to pull a late move out here.
It was pretty late.
Hey, I know. But I thank you for being, available for me. Because tonight I had to have two of you guys in here to actually talk about tonight's topic. Because tonight's topic is actually one of those subjects where we kind of never realize that it's happening. So we kind of unconsciously do it. And when our relationships fail, we never really understand why they fail. So let's jump right into it. I came up with this topic because I don't know if you guys know, but my second book is entitled Don't Be an Ass All Your Life, Uncovering the Unconscious Mistakes You Make in Relationships. And one of the things that I talked about in the book is inviting unwanted guests into your relationship, which causes it to fail. One of those unwanted guests is roots of family. So let me preface it before I ask my first question to either one of you guys, by giving you an example of what roots of family, or what I wrote about with roots of family. So the example was, say a young lady grows up in a single parent household where she hears nothing but negativity spewed from her mother's mouth about men and relationships. To further detail this illustration, let's just say this young lady has a huge amount of aunts, older cousins, and other people surrounding her that actually validates her mother's every word. What do you think is going to eventually happen to this young lady? As time passes, she will begin to authorize all that negativity to take lead in her mind. Even if she does discover success in a relationship, those negative roots that were planted, nourished, and cared for by those people surrounding her growing up will override that success. Here's why. No matter the possibilities of success in a relationship, if she hasn't completely uprooted everything she has negatively heard regarding relationships before entering into hers, then more than likely her relationship is bound to fail. One of the reasons I wrote that, not only to give that example, but to actually speak to myself and to women as well. Now, here's my question to you guys. I'm shooting it out to Coach Ivy, since you know, it took you 6 months to finally get on the round table. Eden kind of already been here. She kind of knows the format. So we're going to save her for a bit. So, Coach Ivy, what are your thoughts on what I just read, and what are your thoughts on just how your parents contribute to your relationship failures unconsciously?
I think what you wrote was actually pretty insightful. I think so many people walk around and they have these unconscious fears and beliefs that basically run their lives, you know, kind of on the down low, if you will. They're not present to them. So you mm-hmm. go through life and you don't know why you're attracted to this guy or repelled by that guy, or, mm-hmm. you know, madly in love with this type of woman and not attracted to that type of woman. And it's because there's something about it that reminds you of the first loves in your life, and that was your parents, whether they were absent or not. So if they were absent, you're in love with whatever mythology that was presented, positively or negatively. It's what you believe about them. And then if they were present, you grew up with that dynamic, however that dynamic was. And as I've done more coaching work, I've also noticed that it's not also specific to opposite sex relationships. It can be specific to same sex. So, and what I mean by that, or same parental relationship. So I've also known women that have issues with their mother and how their mm-hmm. interaction is with their mother. And that still translates into their relationship with their man, their boyfriend, because mm-hmm. it's the behaviors that are really attracting or repelling, not necessarily the nature of the parental relationship, whether it was mother or father. But that first relationship, those parental relationships, and also you mentioned extended family, mothers, cousins, aunts, mm-hmm. brothers, sisters, all those people, that is your first tribe, your first everything. And so mm-hmm. that kind of shapes your worldview, like it or not, unless you become somehow self-aware enough to know, yeah, I believe that, but I don't want to. And I'm going to choose to work on that until I don't believe it or believe something different, something that serves me. You're going to believe something. So it's better to be conscious about what you're going to believe and choose the beliefs rather than be at the effect of beliefs you're not even aware that you have.
Yeah, well, one of the things that kind of, like I said, caused me to write it is I wanted the readers to actually take a self-evaluation of what they have done in relationships. But I also wanted to really take a poke at the ladies for this, because one of the things that I run into when prior to me getting married, when I was in relationships, was the fact that a lot of women were bringing not only their mommy issues into relationships, but they were also bringing those who had fathers in their life, those expectations of their fathers into relationships. And I said last week when I presented this show topic that, you know, women tend to fall into this category a little bit more often than men. Not saying the margin is wide, but I find often that, you know, some women that grow up with mothers and they have these internal issues that it sometimes drag into their relationship. And like I said, with the father thing, you know, they set these unrealistic expectations. So what are your thoughts on that right there, Coach Ivy?
I think it's true. So in this way, that every relationship you have, whatever has not been completed consciously, you're going to seek to get completion or closure to it in this next relationship, whatever that is. So if it was, mommy was really strong and she, you know, never needed a man and that's my role model, then that's the role model you're going to aspire to. Or mommy was too strong and I want to actually have a man take care of me and all men should take care of women and that's what a man is supposed to do. Then you're going to seek to have closure in your relationship. If you're not aware of these things, every relationship unconsciously is an opportunity to make yourself right about whatever you believe, because that's what the subconscious does. It's looking for evidence to validate its thoughts and premises. So that's a lot of times why you're attracted to certain men and not attracted to other men. You know, probably sometimes the man that's the best man for you, you don't even see him. It could be a sea of men, and you're going to pick the same guy with a different name that you had in the last relationship, unless you're very conscious of your issues. And you literally, like consciously, you literally don't even see these other men. Somebody could say, didn't you see that guy? Oh, my gosh, he was so fine. He was just a girl. I didn't even see him. I didn't have eyes for anybody but so-and-so. And so-and-so is the same kind of dude you've been dating since you were 16, you know, whatever that issue is, you know, commitment issues, overcommitment, undercommitment, whatever the issue is, it's the same guy. And it's because for you, commitment is an issue. Somewhere in you, with your parents, in your life, that has not been resolved. And so you just keep repeating that over and over and over and over and over again and until you get resolution. I think it's true for men too. I think that because women are more emotive, you see it more. It's visible more. I don't think it's less true for men. I think it's less visible for men. That's the only difference that I think that it is. But
well, like I said, the margin is not that far. I don't believe the margin is that far, but for some odd reason in my mind, and I could just be picking on the ladies, for some odd reason in my mind, I just believe that the ladies have just a slight edge on us with regards to, you know, some of the unconscious issues that are brought into relationships. Now, I'm not saying that men don't suffer from this, because that's a whole nother ball game. Because I can speak on myself in the issues that I had with my father. But before we get too in depth with that, because I definitely want to touch on that, let me bring in Coach Eden and hear her perspective on what we've been talking about thus far. Coach, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are basically that our parents have such a tremendous impact on our relationships even after we are long grown and gone, because they are our primary example for our formative years between the ages of 4 and 7, maybe 4 to 11. But they call those formative years for a reason. And it's primarily because whatever you accept as truth at that point in your life pretty much remains static for the rest of your life, unless you make a conscious decision at some point to reprogram what's been programmed into you. And because all that programming happens at a point where you have virtually no discernment. You don't have the capacity to say, yes, I'll accept that. No, I'll reject that. Yes, this is true. No, this isn't. Everything is true to you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is surrounding you becomes the reference point for the rest of your life, no matter how toxic it is, how painful it is, how much you wanted to escape it, or how good it is, how fabulous
mm-hmm.
it is. Either way, it becomes your truth. And so you wake up 20 years old, 30 years old, sleeping next to somebody who subconsciously reminds you of what you grew up with, no matter how toxic it was. If, just like Coach Ivy said, you don't become conscious or aware that that's what you're doing and make an effort to change it, it
mm-hmm.
will change. You will
gotcha.
Absolutely live that autopilot until you're 40, 50, 60, die with it, because
gotcha.
It is set otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It's already mm-hmm. set. It's up to us as conscious and evolved adults to reset ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And most
mm-hmm.
people, unfortunately, really aren't willing to do that because it's very uncomfortable, for one. It's awkward. It feels funny. It doesn't fit. That's why when you take a person out of a situation like that and you put them in a healthy situation, they can't function.
Yeah.
They don't
exactly.
want to function. They
exactly.
will wreck it themselves. If you don't bring them drama, they'll create it.
Oh, self-sabotage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And torpedo the situation themselves. Because if you put them in a healthy situation, it doesn't represent to them what they have learned to associate with what love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
for them, love looks like.
Yeah, it seemed like we lost Coach Eden, but we'll get her back in. We'll get her back in. But anyway, she was making some great points. Definitely making some great points. And look, we got the call. The lines are lighting up. The lines are lighting up. We're going to get to the voice of the people real quick. 267-918, 267-918. You're on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What do you have to add to tonight's topic?
Well, good evening, Sean. I am so grateful to tune in tonight. To both you, Coach Ivy and Coach Eden, I concur. Every point that you guys covered was straight and to the point. You know, and I was listening in and, you know, and thinking of myself. I think
mm-hmm.
the best thing that a person needs to do, I mean, whether it's male or female, is to cleanse their brain, their way of thinking. Just like you get a colon cleanse to cleanse your body, you need
mm-hmm.
to cleanse your brain by reinventing yourself. And as Coach Eden said, you know, sometimes it's very difficult, it feels uncomfortable, but in order to be successful in any relationship because of those mommy or daddy issues, and for women it's mostly daddy issues, including repeating, meeting the same type of men, or either you reject totally and don't want a relationship, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you're looking for a father figure. You know, my dad was a provider, but he didn't show love. He never knew how to hug, you know, and he's 91 years old now. You know, we're starting to recapture that daughter and father relationship that I yearned for all of my life. You know, so of course I was looking for men to nurture me, you know, instead
mm-hmm.
of me, you know, but again, it comes from it was learned behavior. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I think that this is a very important topic. I think that this topic should extend way beyond tonight. You know, we need to reinvent ourselves. We need to
mm-hmm.
cleanse our brains in order to become productive, you know, in our relationships. And guys, I'm telling you, I think that this is an awesome, awesome topic. And, Sean, I just want to say to you, congratulations on your second book. I must read it because, again, just that first topic that you touched on touched my
mm-hmm.
heart, you know.
Well,
and, again, Coach
that.
Ivy, you have some valid, valid points. So thank you very much for allowing me to tune in tonight.
Not a problem. Not a problem. We appreciate your support, and we hope that you continue to listen. So Coach Ivy, clearly this was one of those topics, like I said, that had to be had, because like
oh,
I said,
yeah.
there's a lot of people, a lot of adults walking around right now, pointing the finger in the wrong direction as to why their relationships failing, not really taking it into consideration. The huge portion, I'm going to step out on a limb and say the huge portion that their parents play in this. Now, to piggyback off what the caller said, here's the thing. I never heard my father tell me, well, let me rephrase that. I never heard my father, I wasn't at a point to understand when my father told me that he loved me until I was grown. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, he probably told, you know, me as a baby, and my mom heard him or whoever else heard him, but I wasn't at a stage where I can recognize it. So, you know, not having someone as important as a father in your life tell you that he loves you, that kind of does some things to you as an adult. It kind of gives you a misillusion of what love really is. And that's basically what happened to me and what's caused a lot of my pain. Because the thing of it is with me not knowing what true love is, or, you know, the definition of love, it caused me to create my own definition, which was totally wrong for many years. So I think that's the thing that happens with a lot of us. We start to create our own definition, and we take that definition into some relationships where people actually have a clue of what love is, and that clue doesn't match with the definition or the picture that we painted. So it's always going to be a lot of rifts. So my thing is, like she said, it takes cleansing. And you already know when somebody brings something to you, the first thing we're going to do is deny it. So my question to you is, how do we even get out the denial stage of this situation?
You know, I advocate this a lot in my coaching practice and in my writings, when I blog and everything. You know, the first love that you have to have is for yourself. That's who you have to fall in love with first. Because when you love you, there are certain things that you begin to see in other people that you can accept about them and lovingly be a no when it doesn't work. And you can call it out in a loving, kind way. But if you don't love yourself warts and all, what you're trying to get the other person to do is to make up the difference. And that's the difference that you feel the gap from your parental relationship. So, you know, for in my own personal example, being an overachiever, you know, I always, you know, again, my story is, I don't know this to be true, you know, and I have a relationship with my dad, and I have my suspicions. I wouldn't confirm this, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the story that I had for many years is that he wanted a boy. I'm the firstborn. He has all these things about the firstborn and rites of passage, and these are things that are important to him. Not bad, not wrong. Like, I don't want to, and I think that's the first step, is not judging your parents. Like, one thing you have to get is, my father was a man before he was a father.
Yeah.
And so whatever the sins he had or things he learned as a man translated into his ability to be a good father or not, right? Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with me. And that was the first thing I had to get. His journey is his journey as a man. Fatherhood is one aspect of that journey, which impacts me. But it's still it's a part of his journey, and he's still on it. I'm still his daughter. He's still my father. He's still alive. I'm still alive. We are still on this journey. And each year, there's another aspect of one another that we learn and have to accept and appreciate that we didn't know before, because we're human beings constantly evolving. So the first thing I had to get, the first thing you have to get about your parents really is, they are on their own journey. And whatever gaps they had from their own parenting from their own childhood came into their parenting of you.
Yeah.
And mostly what we seek is other people to make up the gaps, right?
Yeah.
So however that looks. So if your father wasn't affectionate, you want an affectionate dude. If he was overly affectionate, you don't want an affectionate dude. If he was just the right amount of affection, you want that kind of affection in your relationship, right?
Yeah.
So whatever the gap is, or non-gap, whatever you liked, you try to repeat. Whatever you don't like, you try to enhance. And that's the first thing. But the first thing you got to get is, I am whole and complete by myself as a person. My likes and dislikes are valid. They are wants, not needs, and I can choose. And there's no pressure on anybody, or shouldn't be, to fill in that gap. They have to choose to want to do that. They have to choose that. And if they don't, that's okay. He's okay. I'm okay, because I still love me without him, and that's all okay. But you got to get to that place where, warts and all, like, there are people, you know, I have other coach friends, they're like, yeah, I'm an asshole, but I own being an asshole. If you deal with me, this is who I am. Like, I'm not going to change. And you have to decide in that moment, do I want to deal with this guy? ask wholeness and all, or no, I don't want to. That's too much drama for me. Everything's fine. No anger, no nastiness, no demands, no commands, no manipulation. They are who they are, and you're at choice. What happens where we go awry is you start saying, well, you got to do X.
Exactly.
If you're not X, then you're not worthy. I deserve. Yeah, and you might, and that all might be true. You deserve. We all deserve love. We all deserve love in a way that feels good. We all deserve love in a way that honors us. But it is no other person's responsibility on this planet to be that for you. You have to be it for yourself.
It for yourself.
When,
exactly.
Yes. And when you can do it for yourself, then it's there's not any pressure. There's this kind of wholeness that you're bringing. Nobody's trying to fix your parental upbringings. Nobody's trying to, you know, redo your childhood. You're not trying to redo your childhood. You're just like,
exactly.
Yeah, this is my childhood. I used to believe this. I don't anymore. Or I still believe it and I'm working on it. I know it. But I own that in relationship and I don't expect my partner to compensate for this belief
the
that
lack.
I've had for years. Exactly.
Or the lack. And for me, you know, when you gave the example of, you know, the person that's an asshole, let me speak for that, because I'm a resident asshole, or I've been told that I'm a resident asshole. So here's the thing with assholes. You have to have those people in your life, because here's the thing. They have reached a point in their life where they feel they can tell you the unadulterated truth.
Absolutely.
without you know, fear of any consequence. But the thing of it is assholes in relationships never really work out until you find the balance in what to be an asshole about and what you shouldn't be an asshole about. And before I move into bringing back in Coach Eden, if you're on live streaming and you want to jump into this conversation, you want to meet us at the round table, do so by dialing 646-787-1851. Again, that number is 646-787-1851. I see Coach Eden is back. She's mic'd and ready to go. I hope that we got that situation under control. Coach, you back?
I'm here. I hope everything's okay now.
Yes, it's better, much better. Like I was saying with the whole resident asshole thing, finding that balance is the thing. But for me, I'm not going to front to you, Coach Ivy and Coach Eden. I had to fail at so many relationships before I even realized, like, damn, I need to stop being in denial. This is serious. Like, this shit possibly could be on me. Like, it got so tiresome of saying, well, why did you and this person break up? Oh, well, we broke up because she did this and I responded this way. And then you get into another relationship and then you find yourself in the same repeating cycle of, oh, well, she did this and I responded this way. So what I found myself doing was being not proactive in any of my relationships, which is a setup for failure anyway. So, you know, Coach Eden, you've been in the studio hearing what we've been talking about up to this point. What do you want to contribute to this conversation thus far, based on what you just heard, joining us back?
Well, I would like to add for consideration that when we start into our relationships, we have this image of ourselves that is largely based on what our parents have told us about ourselves, largely. They're still the primary influence in all of our lives, whether they were absent or present. We shape our opinion of ourselves according to what we've heard from them, largely. So that when we become adults and we're responsible for our own thinking and building our own lives, subconsciously, if we have been told negative things about ourselves growing up, and we accepted those as the truth about who we are, then when we're old enough to actually change that thinking, there is an element inside us that oftentimes triggers a feeling of being disloyal to your parents if you actually attempt to live a life that would make them a liar. And
great point.
Children are loyal to their parents to a fault. I mean,
blind loyalty.
It is not rational. It's not reasonable. That's why you see children who have had horribly abusive situations still trying to be loyal to their abusive parents. It's just primal. It's instinctive and it's in us. And there's an element of that loyalty factor that will actually sabotage our efforts to live a life that is in contradiction to what they've assigned us to be.
Mm-hmm. And you want
so
to know something else you find?
We sabotage ourselves many times.
Yeah, you will sabotage yourself, but you want to know what else you find? You also find that some parents actually manipulate that situation when they find you actually when they find you actually breaking away from the mold of, you know, their insecurities or stuff that they placed on you. Then they automatically hit you with that, oh, you're acting different, or you acting funny, or you think you're better than me, or somewhere along those lines. Yeah, don't forget where you came from and all this stuff. So it's totally insane to put that amount of pressure on kids that grow up into adults, because what you find is you find yourself at my round table and you find yourself discussing this because let's be honest, this is a grown folks mature conversation that needs to be had, because these relationships, let's be honest, people are divorcing because of this stuff.
They think
that one of the elements that people say lead to divorce, which is sex or finances or whatever the case may be. But no, this is in large one of the main reasons that divorce happens, period. But people never want to just be honest about it. Let's jump into some more.
If you can't handle grown folks' truth, then
you can't handle the truth.
This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Up show on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network. From single life, dating, relationships, divorce, finances, racism, Christianity, and politics, there is no topic excuse from the roundtable. This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network.
Can you guys hear me?
Now we can hear you. There you are.
Yo, that was insane. Jesus, that was insane.
What happened?
That was very strange.
You see what happens when we get to talking about some real stuff, then there's all this stuff start happening. I ain't messing with neither one of y'all no more. No more conversations about this stuff. Anyway, let me get to this caller. Eric on 404-940. You on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. O'Shaw. Let's try this again. What do you have for us? 404-940? Okay, I guess they don't have nothing for us.
Hello.
Are you muted? There you go.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is a very good topic tonight, and hello to everybody.
For hey, myself, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. For myself, I can speak as growing up, I found out that my mother had slept with her sister, husband, and had me. That's a different story by itself.
Wow.
But like your first caller said, I had to do a mind cleanser. I had to determine I wanted to break my family curse. By doing that, I had to learn to love myself, and I made a lot of failures in trying in relationships until I put aside, hey, I need to work on myself. I don't want to be like mom, don't want to be like my dad, even though I didn't have my mom nor my dad support. It was just basically me and foster care until I was adopted. So I had to learn from a lot of different perspectives. So this is a good topic tonight.
Well, we appreciate
you
for calling
in. First.
Yeah, it does. It does. And to be honest with you, that story that you just gave, Jesus, you stronger than a lot of people finding out some information like that. Let's just totally be honest here. So we appreciate you for calling in and sharing that perspective.
I just want to acknowledge her, because that takes a lot of courage to make the determination that you're going to break a curse. And then set about doing it with little or no support. Like, that takes a huge amount of courage, because it requires an in-depth look at stuff that may not be pretty, especially given what she has seen around her. So I really want to acknowledge your courage in that, because it takes a lot of guts to do that. And there are people with tons more support and tons more dysfunction that will never look at themselves, because they know that they're not going to like what they see. And for you to do that is really just, I applaud your courage.
Yeah, kudos to her. Kudos to her for calling in and sharing that, as I said. Any other callers that want to meet us at the roundtable, 646-787-1851. It's open. Usually we have a very comical show, but this ain't no comical topic. You know, we're trying to heal some lives tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And the lines have been lighting up. We actually have another caller, 773-936. I'm hoping that Blog Talk doesn't kick me out again, oh haters. But anyway, 773-936. Yo, Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What do you have to add to the conversation?
Hi, everybody. It's Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. I just wanted to touch on a couple things. I wrote notes down, so I won't be rambling. But my parents divorced when I was about 9. And I think that through most of my younger days in dating into my mid-20s, I romanticized the notion of what it was like to be married. I was always trying to get married. Oh, my God. I've been engaged twice when I was young. I was just determined to be married because I imagined somehow that there was something so special about it. Until I realized, of course, that I had a good life, even though my parents were not married. I still had a great life. And so that was just something I had to learn, to let that whole marriage thing go, the image of it that I had in the back of my head. I remember I was just listening to a show, and they pointed out that people have, in the back of their head, people have an idea of what a husband and or a wife should be. And if they don't know that before they get married, then they often change, and the other person doesn't understand, well, why are you acting this way? And, I mean, I even know of one couple that was married after dating for 5 years, and they were divorced within a month because he had a different notion. I know two couples. They had different notions of what a wife should do versus what a girlfriend should do. And it was subconscious, and it didn't come up until actually the vows were spoken. And then what my father leaving us and deciding that he was not going to participate in our life, and he told me that on our last day, because even though I was young, he always talked to me like I was grown. And he said, this is the last time you'll see me. And so that was my first thing. And I knew that my father loved me. So that was the first thing I learned, like, wait a minute, you can love people and leave them. And then later on, when my mom was married to my stepfather, who was a very likable man, but he had some issues as far as being a stand-up husband. Financially, but she divorced. She didn't divorce him. Actually, she sent him back home to live with his mom. And but she loved him. She said, "I love him. I'm not divorcing him. I love him, but he cannot live with us." And so what I learned is that just because you love someone, that doesn't mean that you are right for each other, and that you need to be together, and that you can successfully be together. And I think that was one of the most valuable lessons that I learned.
Well, one of the questions I want to ask you before I let you go, since you had two different ends of the spectrum as far as the definition of what love was, how did that play into your relationships when you start to get into them in your adult life?
I was just too serious. I was serious about getting married. Very serious about getting married. My relationships tended to be very intense. And I was, you know, immediately we were there, we're going to go through all of this stuff. And I was very intense. I was too intense.
Yeah, well, you know, that I was just curious to, you know, find that out. But we appreciate you for calling in, Michelle, you know, one of our faithful listeners here at Grown Folks Talk, and sharing that story with us. Mr. Eden, Your points, the platform is yours. I know you wanted to make some points.
Well, there were just three things I wanted to throw out before we run out of time. But one of them is, because I've run into this so many times, is that we often expect our relationships to unhurt us. And then when they don't, we get mad. And we're disappointed. And we're let down. And we end up walking out on viable relationships, because they didn't meet our unreasonable expectations that that relationship, this magical, mystical, when I find the one, when I fall in love, when it's real love and it's true love, it will unhurt me. And it won't. It absolutely won't. And another thing that I wanted to mention was that most people, especially, unfortunately, the people that we're attracted to, are incompatible with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So we really do ourselves a disservice when we beat ourselves up about all the relationships that we had that didn't last. Just because they didn't last doesn't necessarily mean that they failed. What is failure is when you keep repeating patterns without doing the post-mortem, without doing the work to figure out what part you played in the demise of that relationship, and you don't examine it to see what lesson it taught you about you, so that going forward you can be more honest with yourself about yourself, and that way you can be more honest with a partner and build an authentic connection. But if you don't do that work, you'll just keep doing what you've been doing because you've been doing it.
You'll get lazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's your program. It's much easier to follow your program than it is to change it. So you will just follow the program. And the last thing I wanted to mention was that we often, when we look back at our childhood and we look at how our parents were with each other or were not with each other, we often put ourselves in the story in a way where we were the cause of however they were with each other. With each other, we were the cause. If we had done something different, if we were different, if we had said something different, done something different, been different somehow, then their relationship would have been different. Their relationship with each other and with us would have been different. And until we make that disconnection where we understand that they were individuals before we ever showed up, and that the way they were with us was because that was how they chose to be with us, and we actually had very little to do with that. Meaning, if we had been entirely different children, they probably would have been very much the same way. So until we release ourselves from that false sense of responsibility for the adults that they were when we were children, we will play out that guilt in our adult relationship. And that's how we end up sabotaging ourselves.
Definitely agree with you. Coach Ivy, it's something you said earlier in the show, because people have been calling in and giving their perspective on the total opposite end of how you were actually brought up. But one of the things you said was, that stuck out to me anyway, the key word was overachiever. With your situation and you actually having your father in your life and you actually knowing that you are a bit of an overachiever, did you actually broadcast that same sentiment into your relationships as far as when you date a man that he's supposed to be on this path? If you want to date Coach Ivy, or if you want to be Coach Ivy, he has to be on this level or this plateau. I mean, was that your fault?
No, my fault was kind of on the opposite end. So I would choose men who, see, my father was not an achiever.
Okay.
He was a dreamer. Okay. My mother was a realist. So I get that, you know, kind of drive from my mom. Mm-hmm. But and the dreaming part from my dad.
Gotcha.
So I would always pick dreamers who I would hope to like bring to fruition, because I'm a worker bee, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could bring these dreams to fruition, and it just would never work out, because it doesn't work out. I'm not responsible for his dreams. He's responsible for his dreams. So that's how that would go down. So it's not so much that they would have to, you have to be an overachiever, you have to do this, you have to do that. It was more like somebody's dream I could buy into. And I think a lot of times I think what really was happening is they bought into my dream of relationship. And then they would do it because they didn't have dreams of their own. And then they would, you know, just of course that's not going to work out. They don't have dreams of their own. They're on board with my dream until they find their own dream. And then they would go off and do their own dream.
Now that's crazy that you said that. Bought into your dream because they had dreams of their own.
Yeah, well, because I'm doing it all. That's the fallacy. That's what happens when you're that over. You begin to do it all. They're not doing it fast enough. It's not happening, and so you do it all because you're that worker woman. You know, we grew up in the. I've talked to a lot of women about this. That I don't know if you all this is going to date me, but you know that Angelique commercial. I can bring home the bacon, fry it up, and never. So a lot of women, you know, grew up in that era where you can do it all. You know, so you know you start doing it all. It's like it's not happening fast enough. This guy isn't moving fast enough. Well, I can't wait, so I'm going to do my thing, and then you get. the career job. And he's like, oh, baby, that's wonderful. And then you buy a house. Oh, baby, that's wonderful. We should move in together. And then you know what I mean? Like, you're on a roll. And he's just kind of buying into your dream. And you're like, one day you're like, wait a minute. He doesn't even have dreams. This is my dream. And the truth is you're living it alone. You know, that was sort of how, you know, my path shaped up. But, you know, but one of the biggest things, I guess, and I say this to all women, is you got to know thyself. Like, you know, Coach Eden, you said something just great. We're looking for relationships to unhurt us. And that is that you complete me myth. That's another myth.
Yes.
You complete me. It's like, you know, or Toni Braxton has a song, Unbreak My Heart.
Yes.
I mean, they're all over the place where it's the myth that someone is going to come in
and save you.
You will be all better, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You're gonna it's gonna be all okay after she shows up. And that's just not the truth. It's not the truth. You know, you gotta know yourself, love yourself, forgive yourself, and just keep on keeping on. Just move forward.
In other words, what Coach Ivy is saying to you guys is turn off that damn radio and pick up that pen and pad and write down what you need to write down about yourself.
I'm an avid journaler. I have done journal workshops. You got to get to know it. You got, like, that's the first tenet. I say, know yourself, love yourself, and then whatever it is you don't like, forgive yourself and love it anyway. You got to love yourself through that stuff, because that's the stuff, you know, when you get right with you, then everybody else gets right with you, and it's like, okay, you can do you, I can do me. We can do we and still be in relationship together. And it doesn't have to look perfect. We just have to commit to what we commit to. That's it.
Yeah. One of the things that I find now that I'm on my second marriage and, you know, I just refuse to let this one fall by the wayside is that whole thing that you said about buying into the dream. I really believe that I have my dream. She has her dreams. And what we're supposed to do is find out what part that we can play in elevating them into actually making a reality for each of us. So that is what works in my relationship. So basically what I'm saying is I talk to my partner daily to find out, you know, what are her aspirations? What are her goals? How can I play a part versus putting everything that I'm trying to accomplish on the side just to solely focus on what she's doing? Because the thing of it is like you said, what you find is you find yourself doing more work than the person who actually had the dream.
Or vice versa, you're doing all the work to fulfill your dream and you turn around and look and they're like, they're not even supportive. They're just kind of hitching their wagon
along
for the ride.
Yeah, they got their feet kicked up and they, you know, they use the words we in every sentence.
But it means you, right?
You know, we just bought this house we picked this out or we, so you got to be careful with those type of people. Anyway, we got another caller, area code 630-246. You're on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. You're not one of those wee people, are you? Say, no, I'm just kidding.
You know I'm not a wee people. I'm not a wee people.
What's
good
going
evening,
on?
Sean. Good evening, ladies. Miss Ivy, Miss Eden, God bless you. Oh, my God, thank you. God bless you for being able to teach this life lesson. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. First of all, this is LaTanya Spencer calling from Chicago, Illinois. This show has me a little bit emotional tonight. You have really touched a nerve. I mean, every single nerve in my body is just tingling right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to touch on a couple of things. I'm like Michelle. I took some notes as you all were speaking this evening on this wonderful topic. But unlike what Michelle said, I didn't want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have children. I didn't want to get married because I saw what I didn't want in my life from my mother and my stepfather's relationship. I saw the very thing I didn't want for my life. And I was like, oh, I don't want that. And the funny thing about law of attraction is, it's not bias. The thing that you don't want showed up in my life, and I attracted it to me. The very thing I didn't want in my life, and fighting and arguing and abuse, you know, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, it showed up, and I didn't want it. And the demise of my relationship was, and I've said this many times before on different shows, that that my ex-husband and I, we had we were two broken entities in love with the idea of being in love. And one day we woke up, we didn't even like each other, let alone ourselves. We put an unreasonable expectation. Well, I know I did. I put an unreasonable expectation on him to be something for me that I could not be for myself. I expected him to love me. And as Coach Eden, I believe she said, I entrusted him to love me through my pain, to unhurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To unhurt me. And then Coach Ivy said, she just took, you guys are just taking words out of my mouth. I felt like he rescued me from the situation I was going through at home, but I jumped out the frying pan into a big-ass boiler with him.
Mm-hmm.
I did, because of what I was going through in my home life when I was younger, I would talk to him about it, and basically I taught him how to treat me, if that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I expected him to love me through my pain, but he used that against me and hurt me even more.
So it's like he's feeding information to the enemy, to a degree.
I basically, to a degree. And one of the weird things was when I was growing up and I was very young. I was around 6 years old and younger. I didn't have a conventional family structure with a mother and father home. My mother was a teen mother who lived at home with her mom and dad, and I grew up in a household with them. And my mom did not want me to call her mom or mommy because, you know, she was so young. It was still kind of taboo in the 70s, you know, for teenage pregnancy. I call my grandmother, even to this day, mama. I call my grandfather daddy. You know, I've never called my mom mom. I've always called her by her first name. And the relationship between us has always had some strain. And like in 2011, I had to actually tell my mom, you're going to stop making me pay for the decisions that you made in your life. It stops today.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately it was affecting me in every area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Every area of my life. But I don't want to say anymore. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I thank you all for, you know, doing this show. I mean, you don't understand how powerful this show is.
I clearly didn't. So we appreciate you for calling in and sharing what you shared with us. I didn't know. I just had it on the list, and I knew the people I wanted to invite.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It really is. It just never ceases to amaze me how that happened. When you just decide to make yourself available, wherever the call is, whatever the call is, you just make yourself available, and the way you can be used to bring healing and serenity and peace of mind to people. It's amazing. It's amazing. There
Absolutely.
Is just nothing else like it. There's nothing else like it.
It kind of like that credence, if you build it, they will come. Because the people who need your special brand of healing will show up to be healed. They'll show up for, you know, a light. I mean, you know, I always tell people we don't have to be the light. We're just a light. And there are many lights. And you just, it just illuminates another option for you on your path, on your journey.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest with you, you can tell that the people who needed to hear this,
right,
got it, because the thing
they're
of it
the
is, I'm not going to front you. Since we restarted the show in 2016 for the new year, I have never had as many hiccups since having tonight's show. I'm telling you, trust me, I have not had. The hiccups where I was gone and you guys couldn't hear me. Like, I've never experienced that. That was insane. I'm over here like, Coach Eden, Coach Ivy. I'm like, how's these women ignoring me on my own damn show? Hello? But, this is insane.
And we were talking to each other, wondering what happened to you.
Like, I know. And Eden was like, well, how can we be talking if we can't hear him? It's his show.
Hey, you know, that was no
going on.
That was no fault of mine. That was all on Blog Talk's end, but that's okay. We're going to take this show to another level to where we don't need Blog Talk in a minute, and we don't have to worry about these hiccups. Anyway, moving on to the next caller, 727-403, code 727-403. You're on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D.L. Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Sean, it's Andre.
What's going on, Andre? Ladies, this is my co-host, Andre, that actually be with me each and every Thursday. And we're actually going to speak on the same topic this Thursday from a men's perspective. So, you know, I'm quite sure you was listening to the show and I had to call in because everybody getting all touchy and Philly and stuff. And I don't know what you want to say.
Andre, welcome to the party.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. And just like all the other call-in individuals were saying, this is a great topic. You know, you're really being used in your ministry in regards to, every other night is a special night, but this one is really, I think it's taking you to another level in regards to what God wants to do with what you're doing. So I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm glad to hear the ladies give their insight, because we all need to realize that we're not the only ones when it comes to the situation.
Definitely. Definitely.
But what I want to speak on is, and this is somewhat what I want to speak on, because I've been pondering over this topic ever since you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I kind of touched on it last week in a playful way. But in my sense, with my story, is how I handled it was a little different. My mom, you know, I'm a millionaire, so this is how it goes. And my mom was in pregnant teen, married in her late teens with two kids, and she's pregnant with two kids to an abusive monster who was my dad, who just so happened to get murdered by one of his mistresses by the time I hit 1 year old. And then my mom ended up becoming addicted to drugs like 20 years and addicted to abusive relationships. But how I handled it, and a lot of people say, wow, you could have fallen by the wayside, or you could have become I actually looked at the scenario, and I told my mom this one day. I said, the greatest gift that you all and your generation has given me is this. I look at what you all have done, and I have done the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pondering all week long, Sean, and trying to think of what one thing that I could say, well, positive, that I could say I picked this up from my parents, except for, you know, potty trained or, you know, learn how to use it between the fork and the spoon. But something that stood out to say, well, I learned this from my mom, well, I learned this from my dad. And the one thing that I can say that I learned was not to follow their blueprint. And I have been at peace with not following their blueprint. And since I have been not following their blueprint, I have been the somewhat in the family overachiever. My brother went to the drug route. My sister went to the abusive relationship route, but I didn't follow their patterns. And so my point in bringing my story up is that there are some of us that aren't ashamed early in life to admit something's wrong with this picture, and I'm not going to follow.
Yeah.
And that's what my point is.
Yeah. That's a great point. And to be honest with you, for you to even recognize that you need to go the opposite way says a lot about who you are and the purpose on your life. So,
I didn't have to be bitter. I wasn't angry. I wasn't, oh, why didn't I have this family? Or why didn't I not have that family? Actually, when I read for the first time that in the Bible where it says God is our father, I was like, really? Well, okay, then he's going to literally from this day on be my father. So anytime I need some dad, I got daddy issues, I know who to go to. But other than that, I really have not been that person that was broken because I was willing to admit within myself, these people ain't right. And so I better find other examples, whether through books. I've always kept a journal since I was 12 years old. I still have a journal to this day. So I agree with the ladies, what they're saying. You can write the good, the bad, and the ugly, and still feel good about yourself. So I've done those things. So there are things that I've done to cause me not to have that pain built up on the inside, or that sense of disappointment because I want to love them, but yet they aren't doing the right thing. I don't have to go through that. I can still love them, still love myself, and still achieve the goals that I need to accomplish. But as far as following their blueprint, the only thing that they've taught me was don't follow their blueprint.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I can't wait till Thursday to get, you know, the men's perspective on this, man. So, you know, Andre just giving us a little taste of what we're going to be talking about on Thursday. I appreciate you, brother.
That was such a powerful thing that he said for a whole lot of reasons. But I would really just like to mention, because there are so many people just like him in that they had traumatic
childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow up with the burden of it. And it mm-hmm. feels like a burden, even after they're adults and they're off living a life that's radically different from what they grew up with. I really, really just want to remind them that they are more than the worst thing that ever happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
They
Definitely.
Are more than that. That thing, whatever, or those things, whatever they are, don't define you. There is so much more to you than the horror that you survived, than the trauma that you lived through, than the pain that you suffered through. There is so much more to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Just hearing people's stories, you know, it reminds me of, you know, my upbringing as well, because I'm going to be honest with you. What I saw and how I saw my stepfather treat my mother, I kind of easily fell into that. But something within me told me, you know what, something about this not right. So the thing of it is it's funny how life is, because the same situation is as far as, you know, how my stepfather treated me, you know, bad. And, you know, he was jealous of me and he would do things intentionally to try to provoke me. I find that I'm being put in the position of stepfather now to say, here's your chance to make it right. Here's your chance to give to another child what you didn't get growing up. Because you don't want that child going through, because, you know, I have a stepdaughter. She's 8 years old. I don't want her going through the same things that I went through or having the same insecurities that I had growing up. Now, you want to hear some fucked up stuff? I'm going to tell you, because this is, you know, this is exactly what it is. It's fucked up. My stepfather actually stole my college fund.
Oh, wow.
Stole.
Oh.
So,
ow.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. Ow. So the thing of it is I could have just fell into this whole bitter world of how the world just dealt me a bad hand and I don't want to do life anymore and, you know, fell into this pity party. But it's something within me. I'm going to quit saying it's something within me. It's God within me that's pushing me to want better, to do better, to put people in better positions than I was growing up. And that's the whole purpose of Grown Folks Talk. That's the whole purpose of why I do what I do. Because like I said, these are conversations that need to be had, but nobody wants to have them. Because nobody ever wants to get in touch with their feelings. Nobody ever wants to reveal the ugly side of them. They want people yeah. just to see the good side of the mirror, the reflection of the good side. And I cannot mm-hmm. understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally insane. And for you guys to be coaches, I know you understand exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You have to part of this conversation is embracing your own light and dark, because when you can embrace it for yourself, then you can embrace it in others. Your parents being the first person. I mean, the best thing that ever happened to me was getting that my father was a man first. And
mm-hmm.
he has his own journey, and it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with me. It has, and sometimes when I get, I'll get off the phone sometimes and I'll go, this has nothing to do with me. He is on his own journey, and his journey is not my problem. It's not my journey. It's not my path. All I can do is bear witness and support him in ways that feel good to me. You know, there's this whole conversation around boundaries, but my father has got his own demons from his own parents. There's things
exactly.
I know, like I see in him that I'm like, yeah, it's clear there's something that went on in his childhood that he's not reconciled with. So how could he have been a different kind of father to me? But I think that part of that is first, it's like when you can embrace your own dark, like this is who I am, then it'll occur to you that, oh my God, if I have this, I wonder if my mom and dad have this, and what mm-hmm. must their stories be? And what did they endure as a man or a woman, as a child, as a teen?
Mm-hmm.
And what did their parents endure? Some of the things you can see, I see threads of these generational things that I just got mm-hmm. committed, like all of you are saying, is to just breaking down those barriers. And at the same time, you still have to meet your parents with as much compassion as you can, because you meet
yeah.
I meet every human being with as much as compassion as I can. And that does not mean you cannot set up healthy boundaries to deal with them in ways that honor you and respect them. That's it. That's
exactly.
All. And I tell people that all the time. You can love your mother, father, whoever, from a distance. You do not have to love them, and they're all in your business and in your life. You don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. And you don't have to tolerate bad behavior from them. It's not, you know, they can ask anything of you, and you are free each and every day to say no to anything you don't want to do, and yes to the things that are like, yeah, I'm going to honor my mother and father by doing this, but not from, and I am big on that, not from obligation, not from manipulation, not from guilt. I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in shame. I refuse to do it. If I'm not genuinely compelled, my answer will be no.
Yeah.
So when
I had to reach that too. I had to reach that level too.
Yeah, stuff, people can trust that. They trust that. Like, oh no, she's not going to do that if she's not up to it. She will not do it. She'll tell you no. She'll tell you no in
exactly.
a minute. But that's how you. That's a healthy boundary to honor your parents' journey, wherever their journey is, because it's not yours. I cannot heal my father's childhood wounds. He must do that. I can't heal my mother's childhood wounds. She must do that. I love them both dearly, but they have their own journeys. And I have to respect where they are on their own path, which has
another
to do
key
with
thing
my
you have
parental
to,
relationship with them. Yeah.
Exactly. Another key thing you need to take into consideration is even if your parents realize that you're going in the opposite direction, you don't have to necessarily take that call and be their pity party either.
Oh,
see, sometimes
no, no.
Some people have a way of, you know, throwing their, you know, insecurities, their inabilities onto you, and you being the type of person you are, you carry it with you. Then you begin to think about it daily. Then you begin to try to figure out ways to how to fix their situation instead of, you know, continuously focusing on you becoming a better person. Because honestly, the only way you can fix people around you is by fixing yourself first. And moving forward in them and them
absolutely.
Watching you and them seeing
absolutely.
You how you did it. That's the best way you can fix people around you.
And when you
we
can
sit here
light,
and talk.
You're
exactly.
light, yeah, you're when you're a light, you light up the room, period. And they will either come toward it and learn and glean from it or not. And that's okay. It's not something you tell them. It's you're showing them by, you know, writing your books and doing your show and by being a coach Eden and helping you're not you know, we're not going around going, hey, look at me. It's not a look at me thing. It's
right.
like, this is here.
Right.
We are here for you to the degree that you choose to take advantage of that. And it's the same for your parents. And I think people have a hard time. They're like, I feel obligated. Family above everything. Well, that's not necessarily true. You must find ways to engage your family in ways that honor yourself first. Because that's the easiest way for people, not just your parents, they get their hooks into you if you're the person that succumbs to manipulation, guilt, shame, I'm a good person, or, you know, other people are so into service of others, they neglect themselves, their own body, their own, you know, families and things like that. But that's all a part of knowing yourself and loving yourself, both light and dark parts, so that you can say, yeah, I'm going to set up better boundaries because this doesn't work for me. It's not good for me to do this, and I honor myself because I love myself.
Exactly. Well, you know, well, ladies, we're reaching that point in the show where we have to unfortunately come to an end. But, you know, luckily, you know, we're going to pick this conversation up again on Thursday. You guys are welcome to call in if you want to, but, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. But before we let you guys go, I want to state that you guys have just been phenomenal, despite the hiccups, despite the audio difficulties that we were having. This show has quickly become one of my favorite ones because it's nothing like getting in touch with who you are and trying to fix yourself from the inside. I mean, we have shows all the time where we entertain people, do comedy, do humor, but this is one of those shows where it was just time for just some straight real talk. We in the fourth week of the new year, and it's time to just get down to the nitty-gritty of this thing because time is waiting for no man. You wake up every day, you're growing older, you're not going backwards unless you know the Benjamin Button effect. You need to share that, the fountain of youth. You're gonna make some money, but other than that, you as you get older, you definitely need to grow from a mental standpoint. So before I let you ladies go, and we're gonna start with Miss Eden, what are your final words? As far as, you know, what do you want to contribute to people who are actually going through this and how to better themselves?
Fortunately for all of us, we came here individual and our purpose is individual. And after we grow up, we get to make choices. Nobody else is choosing for us at that point. Mm-hmm. We grow up feeling sort of helpless and out of control because other people around us are choosing for us, and they are defining us, and they are telling us who we are, and they are showing us how to be. But once we reach our maturity, once we are on our own, once we are running our own lives, it is our responsibility to examine what we do and why we do it. Uh-huh. It's time to start asking questions. Well, why do I show up that way? Why does that trigger me? Why does that make me mad? Why does this hurt my feelings? And to start dissecting ourselves, to figure that out, not to beat ourselves up about it, just so that we know why it's happening. And if there's something there that isn't serving us, that's how we address, that's how we fix it. Not by getting into another relationship, not by bringing somebody else or some other situation into our lives, but by introspection, not by circumstance. We have to ask the questions and be honest with answers and accept them, because it's all okay. There is no mystical, magical, perfect person somewhere who isn't scarred, who isn't hurt, who isn't in pain of some kind, who isn't recovering, or who isn't about to go through a trial that's going to really knock the wind out of them. There's just no such person. So to look for that in your own life is to set yourself up for failure. So just don't do that. Don't do that. Embrace everything that you are. You are more than the worst thing that ever happened to you. And you're more than the worst thing you've ever done. So don't let those things be the definition of who you are for yourself.
Definitely,
and love
definitely.
Is possible. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you're open to it, it is possible.
Yeah. But the key word is you have to be open. Open for it.
You have
one
to
of the
be
things,
open.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't get from you in the beginning of the show that we definitely want to get from you before you leave is your information on how to get in contact with you, how to follow whatever you're doing as far as the coaching and potential books. I know you had one book out. I wasn't quite sure if you was working on another one last time we talked, but just give people how to get updates on Eden Adele and her movement.
Most definitely. My website is www.EdenAdele.com. And I do have a book out already. I am working on my first online course. It'll be released in March, so please watch for that. And find me on Facebook, which is where the real party is, how Sean found me in the first place. And I'm there every day, and I do respond on my own wall. Nobody else is doing that. So when I talk to you, that is me. By all means, reach out to me on Facebook. It is where I engage most immediately with people. And then we can talk about coaching if that's where you want to take it. It's always an option. And I appreciate you for inviting me tonight. And Coach Ivy, it was wonderful to share this platform with you. It was just, I was very glad to be able to be included.
Likewise.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I appreciate you for, coming in at that last moment. It was a shot in the dark, but nevertheless, you came in and turned the light on for me. So I appreciate you for doing that. And you already know you're pretty much family. Coach Ivy don't know either that she's pretty much family. Now, once after that first time on the show, be looking for me at any time. You never know. So I appreciate you, Ms. Adele, for bailing me out yet once again. Keep in touch. Keep in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Coach Ivy, like I said, it took 6 months to get you on the show, but it was well worth the wait. I can't express to you how much I enjoyed your company. Like I said, despite our audio hiccups in the beginning of the show, but this turned out to be such a phenomenal show, and I'm glad that you were a part of it. Could you give your last words and follow that by how we can keep in touch with you and stay updated with everything that you're doing?
Yes. One of my favorite quotes is, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And I encourage people to be present in their own lives. notice what you notice, see what you see, and learn from each and every experience you have. The experiences of your past are shaping you, molding you to do and live your purpose in the present, in this moment. And every moment is an opportunity to be the person who you really were born to be. Every moment is an opportunity to do that. And every relationship is not a failure. You can lose a relationship as long as you don't lose the lesson. And every relationship offers lessons and treasures untold. If you are actually present and looking for them, there's an opportunity there to shape you into the amazing human being that you were born to evolve into. So I would just encourage people to do that. Know themselves, love themselves, both light and dark. And, you know, be on the lookout for things that'll show you what your next step is in your relationships and your evolution and who you were born to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell us how to keep in touch with you, Coach.
Yes. I am on, like Coach Eden, I have a Facebook page. I have a personal page, which is Ivy Allen. You can find me under there. But I have a fan page, which is Single Dating and Relating, which you can find me. And I do my own post and I do respond. I have a website, lifecoachivy.com. And you can reach me at coachivyallen@gmail.com. But you can reach me on any medium. I have Twitter account, Coach Ivy. If you Coach Ivy anything or Coach Ivy Allen, I pretty much pop up. So I'm all over the internet and you can reach out to me. I am working on my first ebook, which I'm delighted to hopefully find an editor and get published this year. Yeah. Yes, it'll be The 7 Habits of Highly Attractive Women. So I'm looking forward to launching that. Yeah. Yeah,
Definitely reach out to me. I definitely bring you on the show to discuss that. So that's a great topic. And as I said, I appreciate you. You like I said, you family now. Be looking out for me.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be in the family. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, you have a great night, and we appreciate you here at Grown Folks Talk. So
you too.
So moving forward, I love this platform. I so love this platform and everything that we're doing currently. This topic tonight of, you know, how much of a role did my parents play in my relationship failure has been such a phenomenal show. And it doesn't stop here. Actually, on Thursday night, we'll be wrapping this show from the men's perspective. And we will be definitely getting into more of this from a psychological standpoint, but we want to see how it affected the men as well as the women. So that was the whole purpose of having the show on Tuesday, where we had the women's panel, and on Thursday when we have the men's panel, just to get different perspectives and actually to bring them together to, you know, see what we can do to move forward. For those of you who were interested in purchasing my book, which I read from earlier, of course, again, it's entitled Don't Be an Ass All Your Life, Uncovering the Unconscious Mistakes You Make in Relationships. Definitely check that out. It's on Amazon. It's on iTunes. It's on Kindle. All you have to do is just type in Sean D. Upshaw, and the books should come up. They should come up, especially if you go to Amazon or iTunes. Download it. Read it. It's a great read. It's definitely a great read, and definitely can teach you some things about some of the mistakes we make in relationships that we don't even realize. So for right now, we're going to end the show. I appreciate you, as always, for making this platform what it is. Don't forget, we're here Thursday night, 9 p.m., same time, same place. Until then, don't let anybody steal your joy. We'll see you on Thursday night.
On behalf of Sean D. Upshaw and the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode. We hope that you left with more knowledge and understanding than what you came with. But in case you didn't, lucky for you, we'll be back next week at the same time, same place. So until then, remember to never let anyone steal your joy. See you at the Roundtable next Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern